There are three different things mentioned in the passage that we've just heard read from Matthew's Gospel. Three different things that could be called, in a sense, acts of righteousness, or perhaps spiritual disciplines, or some such thing. One is the giving of alms. In our modern parlance, we'd be talking about charitable donations. One is prayer, and you might have noticed that the reading that we had today actually skipped over the Lord's Prayer. That's a whole other sermon that will get preached shortly. But we skipped over the Lord's Prayer. So there's almsgiving, there's prayer, and the third thing is fasting, which simply by looking at me, you're probably aware, is not my spiritual strong point. In a sense, what I'm about to say covers all of these things. The spiritual qualities and attributes of our life. Let's start with trumpets. My favorite section in any orchestra is the brass. Apologies if you play strings or woodwind or whatever, but a band is only a band if it's got brass in it. I love brass instruments. Trumpets have been used since the very earliest days of human existence for a lot of different functions. As a call to arms for the military, as a warning for the civilians. And there's been lots of ways in which trumpets have been used in lament when somebody's died, in celebration when somebody's won a great victory. Trumpets can be used almost anyway. But what was being spoken about here in Matthew chapter 6, I believe that it might have been a reference to the receptacles into which people put their offering on the way into the temple. So not a brass instrument at all, but probably a brass bowl of some description into which they put their money on the way into the temple. Or maybe some people did use brass instruments. I mean, how often have you been at some kind of celebration where a charitable donor has given £20,000 or £50,000 to a school or a hospital, and they actually put on a celebration of this with a brass band? If they know how to do celebrations well, it'll be a brass band they've got. But some kind of way of attracting attention to the fact that this has happened, whether it's a large, a grand scale donation, or whether it's whatever you're putting into the plate in church on a Sunday, or on your way into a synagogue or the temple in the days of Jesus. You know, there's a law in Australia which is perfectly in keeping with the teaching of Jesus on this point. In Australia, it's not uncommon for private schools to receive large amounts of sponsorship, and therefore for buildings or classrooms or sports fields to be named after the donor. But there's a tax law that says if you give the donation entirely as a charitable donation, you can write it off against your tax. If, however, you give the donation fully in the knowledge and the expectation that you will have something named after you, it's no longer a charitable donation. It's a commercial transaction. And therefore, you can't write it off against your tax. So what happens is that somebody gives the money purely as a charitable donation, and in an entirely separate decision, the school or the organization to which they've given the money decides to name a building after them. But the law in itself reflects this point. Are you really giving because you want to help, because you want to give generously to somebody who's poor, or to somebody who needs the money, whether for medical care or for education or for whatever purposes? Are you really giving it, or are you giving it to big noise yourself, to attract attention to yourself, to let everybody know how good and generous you are. In which case, your motivation is not charity at all, but pride. Matthew uses one particular Greek word that you will all be familiar with 13 times throughout his gospel. It's the word hypocrite. It's a Greek word that actually, technically, literally means actor. Anybody here ever been involved in amateur dramatics? Yeah. I used to enjoy trading the boards myself when I was a lot younger, and really enjoyed it. But you know, one of the things that I loved about acting was exactly because I could take on a character that wasn't me. I could become somebody else. Makeup, costumes, stage lights, a script to follow, lights, camera, action. Never had cameras pointed at me. But an actor takes on a character that is different to who you really are. Some actors, let's be honest, they make a lot of money just by being themselves, which means that they're the same character in every movie they star in. Other actors, however, have got a great talent. Right up on the top of this list, I'd have people like Dustin Hoffman and Tom Hanks, not going to tell you who I think are bad actors, who can take on different characters, different roles in every part they play. But an actor, as well as taking on a different role from who they really are, do it for the applause of the audience. They do it for the accolades of the crowd. I tell you the truth, says Jesus. It might be a great reward that they get, but it's all the reward that they're going to get. The acclaim of their peers, the congratulations of the community, the feeling of self-satisfaction, maybe even promotion, lots of money. I once read that Nicole Kidman was paid $30 million for one movie. When you get to the top, you can make a lot of money. And the same's true in the business of religion. Despite what they try to tell you, there are some people who get to the top in the business of religion because they like the accolades of the people and because they like the financial rewards as well. But if that's your reason for doing it, if that's all you want to get out of it, then that's all you'll get. And there will be no heavenly reward. Jesus, especially in this Sermon on the Mount, of which chapter 6 is part, Jesus challenges us not just to transform our outward behavior as if we are acting a part. Transforming what other people see of us. But Jesus challenges us also to allow God to touch who we really are, the very depth of our being, the core of our soul, our character, our nature. To allow God, by his grace and mercy, to transform us from the inside out. Such that our goals in life might be to please God rather than to please our fellow citizens. So that the treasure that we seek might be the heavenly kingdom and the things of heaven, which can so deeply infuse, change, and transform not just our lives, but the community around us as well, when we take on board the heavenly qualities of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Some of you might recognize that I'm reciting what's called the fruits of the Spirit. When we make these our goal, when we make these our aspiration, make these the treasures that we seek in life. Not because people will then say, oh gosh, didn't he do well? But because we know that that's what's pleasing to God. And in humility, and reticence, not making it a cause for boasting in ourselves. You know, the Apostle Paul, sometimes we look back on the life of the Apostle Paul and we think, what a great man he was. But the Apostle himself said, I can do nothing. Nothing. Without the strength of Christ, which resides in me. So where is our heart inclined? It's asking the question, not just what are our actions as Christian people and as a Christian church, but what is our motivation for these actions? What is the treasure we really do seek? Money, things, material possessions, acclaim, promotion? Or do we really seek the love of God and the love of our neighbor? Do we want people to look up to us? Or do we want God to say, well done, good and faithful servant? As we come to the sacrament of Holy Communion, we are reflecting upon the greatest act of humility that we could possibly imagine. When he who had the very nature of God, he of whom John could say he was in the beginning, he was with God, and in him and through him all things that were made. He who had all power and glory at his disposal became like one of us. Suffered and died an ignominious death, a humiliating death, the death of an innocent man against whom the darkness of sin, of the sins of this world, gathered and came about. But rather than simply click his fingers and get his way out of it, he submitted to what he had to face in order to be for us the way, the means, to show us the way to the glory of God, which lies beyond even this life, in the resurrection life that is to come. And so as we participate in this sacrament, I want you to reflect on what it truly means to humble ourselves, to go about our lives not looking for the accolade and the acclaim of our neighbours, but instead to seek that treasure which God is storing up for us in heaven, in and through his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.